So a while ago, I was at a birthday party for Didi. Many of you know her here. At this party, she was told that she had to introduce everyone who was in the room to everyone else. And this is just kind of off the cuff. And so she went around the circle and had something good to say about everyone who was there. And it was kind of cool. It reminded me of another time, and I was at camp some years ago, and Lonnie was directing children's camp, and it was the last day of camp, the last staff meeting, and so you start with this meeting. And as Didi, Lonnie went around the circle, and there was more than 30 staff at children's camp, and he had something uplifting to say to each person one at a time. And it really meant something to each person, and I'll never forget those times. And probably some of you have had similar experiences where somebody had something to share with you like that. And I was reminded of those two times as I was reading the passage that we're going to be looking at today. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians 4, we see Paul talking to or about a number of different people, about 10 different people in this chapter. And in it, we see that he has something to say to all these people, kind of in a similar manner that Didi and Lonnie had done. Now, this is kind of an extension. A couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the idea of relationships and how we are called to the lives of those around us to help build them and bring them closer to God in any way that we can. And so this is sort of a continuation of that in a sense. I mean, we talked about wives and husbands and parents and children and bosses and employees last time. But today we're going to look at some of these people who are named here and see what we can learn from them as we seek to do that, to build up those around us. So let's just read Colossians 4 and starting at verse 7, and I'm reading from the NIV. It says, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Now, it's the kind of passage that when you read something like that, you say, what is there in there for us? It's just a bunch of people that he's talking about. But, as we look at their lives, there's lots of things that we can learn. And so I'm just going to look at not all of these people, but at three or four of them, just briefly, and just try to get a nugget from their life that we can take into our life as we seek to reach those around us and to help them along. So the first one that I want to look at is just from verse 10. So not in a particular order of the verses here, but anyways. Let me just read verse 10 again. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. And we'll stop right there. The first person I want to think about is Mark. Now, Mark is the person who it seems, likely was the same one who wrote the book of Mark. And interestingly, most of the information that he got, according to tradition and stuff, he probably learned it from Peter. The stories of Jesus' life and so on, because he was kind of a disciple of Peter in a sense. And so Peter taught him all this stuff and he wrote it down and wrote the book of Mark. But we also discover that Mark also hung out with Paul quite a bit. We see that here. And if you turn back to the book of Acts, I just want to read a few verses from there. So Mark was somebody who hung out with some pretty, if you want to call it, important people in the church in those days, you know, with Peter and with Paul. In Acts 15, we see him in the middle of a missionary journey together with Paul, and we read at verse 36. It says there, "Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." Now those verses, as we read them, don't speak very highly of Mark. Okay, it says he deserted the people at Pamphylia. We don't really know why that was, and he caused this great amount of stress between Paul and Barnabas at this time. And yet here in the book of Colossians, you know, which is sometime later, he's a companion of Paul's, a fellow servant. And we also read about him in the book of Philemon, where he is working alongside with Paul. And even further in 2 Timothy, just one verse here from chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, and this is Paul speaking again, and he says, "Get Mark, bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry." So something has changed in Mark's life, right? Mark was somebody who deserted these people and he just took off. But now here, he's helpful to Paul in his ministry. And he's somebody of some value. So something has happened. Now, a little bit of conjecture. You know, we don't know for sure, but we read in Colossians that he was the cousin of Barnabas, right? And if you turn back to Acts chapter 4, and again, this is just one verse, and this is talking about Barnabas, and says, "Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus," Acts 4 and verse 36, "Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, he sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet." Everyone called him Barnabas, even though his name was Joseph, which they don't seem like Barnabas is a short form of Joseph in any way. But he was somebody who obviously encouraged people. Wherever he went, he was encouraging people. Even here in Acts chapter 4, he sold a field to give to the church to encourage this small group of believers. And so we see that Barnabas is somebody who encouraged somebody wherever they were. And so here we find in Acts chapter 15, it said Mark had deserted them. We don't know why. But Barnabas said, "Come on, Mark, come with me. Let's go." And we can be sure that Barnabas continued to encourage them along the way as they went on this missionary journey, so that in the end, he was somebody who Paul would say, "Get this guy because I want him with me. He's so helpful to me." So he was encouraged by Barnabas and it made a difference in his life. Encouragement, something that we want our friends or our family to do and to be. I came across a quote of Mark Twain's. He's somebody who, if you're ever looking for a quote, you can find lots of them, right? And here's what he said once. "I can live for 2 months on a good compliment." Okay, that might be a bit of a stretch. But anyways, we like to be encouraged by people, right? And when we're encouraged, it builds us up and it helps us and we're ready to do something else. This was something that Barnabas did. So as we think of each other, and as we think of helping strengthen somebody else and helping them to grow closer to God, we need to be an encouragement to others. And maybe you are the Barnabas in somebody else's life. Maybe you're the one who needs to be giving them that word of encouragement to help them along. In Colossians Chapter 4 and verse 8, we also read about another man who is kind of the same. It says, well, in verse 7, it talks about Tychicus. And then in verse 8, it says, I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. So Tychicus was like Barnabas. These were a couple of guys who encouraged people around them. And so maybe you need to be the Tychicus or the Barnabas to somebody else in your life. Maybe you need to encourage them. And so that's something that we can learn from those guys. Okay, another person that I want to look at, and I saw three or four here, or a couple of minutes each, is a guy named Onesimus. Okay, and we've heard about Onesimus occasionally, now and then. But if you haven't, to understand him better, we also need to look at the book of Philemon. Okay? When you compare the names that are mentioned in Colossians and in Philemon, it seems the letters were going to the same place at the same time, the letter to the Colossians and the letter to Philemon. So turn to Philemon just for a moment, and it's just over a bit from where you are. Right before Hebrews. Okay, Philemon. Let me read a few verses from there. Philemon, and starting at verse 10, we read, I appeal to you, this is Paul talking to Philemon, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. And then jump down to verse 15. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So this man named Onesimus, we don't know what happened, but somehow he was a slave, and he fled from his master, Philemon. And so he took off, and he ended up in Rome where Paul was, and somehow they crossed paths, and Paul was always reaching out, and so he reached out to this man, Onesimus, and led him to the Lord, and he became a Christian at this point. And Paul continued to minister alongside him for some time, and then in the book of Colossians, he's sending him back to Philemon, saying to him, you need to go back to your master, but you're going to go back as a brother in the Lord. But Paul does a little play with his name there. I don't know if you've ever noticed that before, but in verse 11 he says, formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. And so he says this because Onesimus's name means useful. That's the meaning of that word, or of that name. And he says, he was useless to you. He ran away. He wasn't any good to you. But now he has changed. And now he's going to become useful to you. And so accept him back as a brother. And so as I was thinking about him, thinking about Onesimus, I mean, a couple of things that we can learn from that. Some of them even just from Paul. Because Paul reached out to him. And even as we were seeing with this little video that we saw earlier, we need to be reaching out to those around us. And so Paul reached into the life of this man and brought him to Jesus, and then he was useful. No longer was he useless, then he was useful. And so as we think of those around us, who do we need to be reaching out to? Who do we need to help become useful again? I'm sure that there's somebody in your life that you can do that. The next person I want to think about is the guy named Demas. He's just mentioned in a list. He's hardly talked about at all. It just says his name in chapter 4 and verse 14. Where's verse 14? Anyways, it's just our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. That's all it says about Demas at this point. But he's talked about differently somewhere else. If you turn to 2 Timothy, we find Demas talked about again. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. And here's what we read there about him. I'll read it, verse 9. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. So this is the opposite of Mark. When we saw Mark's life, he was someone who had walked away and came back to the Lord. But here, Demas was somebody who was close to the Lord and walked away. He deserted him after the book of Colossians was written, between Colossians and 2 Timothy, which was right almost at the end of Paul's life. So one of the things that we can learn from that is that, you know what, we can pour our lives into people, but ultimately, it's their choice what they do. We can't make somebody change. The Spirit can guide them along, but we cannot make somebody change. Ultimately, it's their choice. But our responsibility is to continue to strive regardless, because we don't know what they're going to choose, but that doesn't mean that we stop working in that direction. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We keep working with somebody, even if they're like Demas and they've turned from the Lord, because who knows? God may bring them back. And so we keep doing that to those who are around us. One more person. So back in Colossians again, chapter 4 and verse 12, and here's what we read there. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Here is somebody who prayed. Epaphras is spoken of as somebody who prayed. And he prayed, you know, that they would stand firm in the will of God, that they would do what was right. He prayed that they would be mature, that they would grow in what was right. He prayed that they would be fully assured, that they would stand strong and firm, and they would stand right. Those are the things that Epaphras prayed. Now, he was mentioned back in chapter 1. We see Epaphras mentioned there. And from that verse, it seems that he was probably the man who founded the church in Colossae. He's mentioned in Philemon as well as a fellow prisoner of Paul's. And according to tradition, Epaphras died a martyr's death. But throughout that, he was somebody who was praying for each other, as we are called to do. Last week, Ken led us through the first few verses of chapter 4. And in there, we saw that we need to devote ourselves to prayer. That we need to, and then it also says, pray for us. And again, it says, pray for me. Over and over again, he's talking about the need for prayer. And here we see that Epaphras, this man in Colossians 4, was somebody who did that. Somebody who prayed. So we are to do the same. We are to pray for each other. We are to be devoted to it. Pray for others' opportunities to share the message of who Jesus is. Pray that those opportunities go well. Pray for those around us, for our brothers and sisters, as Epaphras did. Now that's easy to say, but not so easy to do always, right? Just like you, I struggle with prayer. You know, and we know that God listens to us, and we know that God can answer us, and we know that he does answer us, but yet sometimes we're praying and we know that we're going to be distracted. We know that our minds are going to go shooting in all kinds of different directions, because that's what the devil wants, right? And he doesn't want us coming before the throne of grace, so he throws all kinds of thoughts into our mind. But when we're brought back to what we were doing by God, because he's the one who does that, the point isn't for us to say, oh man, I'm terrible at this, I just can't do it, and give up. The point is to rejoice that God didn't give up on us, and that he called us back again, and that he keeps doing that however many times that we fail, God will continue to call us back. So we need to be people who remember that. Remember that God listens and answers, and that he will. There are a whole bunch of other people mentioned here in this chapter, but I just wanted to leave you with those four people to think about. In our relationships, as we seek to help draw others closer to God and grow closer to them as a result of that at the same time, in the family of God together, there are, from these people mentioned, things that we need to do. We need to be encouraging one another, as we see that Barnabas and Tychicus did. Like Paul with Onesimus, we need to be reaching out to those around us, seeing that they can be useful. God has something for others to do as well. From Demas, we learn that we need to continue on despite what we see in somebody's life. God is the one who will make the difference. And from Epaphras, we see how important prayer needs to be to us. We need to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters as well. We're a family together. We need each other. So we need to be encouraging and reaching out and praying for one another. Let us pray right now. Father, we do thank you again. Thank you that we can be a family together and we can encourage each other and we can pray for each other and all of these other things that we see in these people here. Help us to be doing that as we grow closer to each other, as we grow closer to you. We thank you so much for that, and that it happens because of who Jesus is and what he did for us when he died on the cross. Help us to be reaching out with that truth, as Paul did to Onesimus, to reach those around us with the truth of who you are. We thank you again. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.